morning and welcome. So a little bit of a slow start today because people are still arriving and trying to get them in seats. It's a little bit awkward. This is not a large Easter Sunday service, but it is a large Easter Sunday service. It's the most we've had in this building since COVID began. And so thank you for joining us today. Thank you. There was no outbreak that suddenly stopped people coming. But I've met some of the visitors today, but thank you for joining us. I can't really see who's online at home because it's in a different format, but I do see my father on the screen. I see Melita, and is it Mary? Okay, so you people have to behave yourself. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day in which we come together. We recognize that our nation is mostly ignorant of what you have done and achieved that we commemorate, celebrate this day. We pray that you would pour out your spirit on our nation, that people may understand that you are their creator, that they may understand how much you love them, and that they may turn and repent before your son returns. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pick up part of the reading from Isaiah 53, which is a passage written at least 500 years before Jesus was born, but spoke about Jesus, his coming to earth, his death, his resurrection, and his exaltation. Isaiah 53. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Well, we're now going to sing the story of Jesus, of his the Lamb of God who takes away our sin, of his life, death, and resurrection. But before we do that, please join with me in this prayer. Glorious Lord of life, by the mighty resurrection of your Son, you overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him. Grant that we, who celebrate with joy Christ rising from the dead, may be raised from the death of sin to the life of righteousness through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please stand as we sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. We're now going to have our Bible reading. Push the wrong button.
The second reading today is from Mark 16, verses 1 to 6. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on the way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." Hear the word of the Lord.
A remarkable event, wasn't it? Seems that we've changed hosts at the back and heard somebody coughing before, but hopefully if you're at home, you're on mute. Well, some of you were here on Friday, not all of you, of course, but on Friday we looked at the events of the very first Good Friday from the perspective of Mary Magdalene. And the way that we did this year was through a historically based fictional interview held between a news reporter, Dick Tate, and Mary Magdalene via some medium called Zoom. Now, on Friday, which we couldn't have done a year ago. I certainly couldn't have done it a year ago. Now, on Friday, we left Mary feeling grieved and angry after having described the death and burial of Jesus and described it in some ways to the world. And so we're now going to pick up the reporter as he begins interviewing Mary at the end of the day, so a few hours' time, at the end of the day on which Jesus rose from the dead. So let me just change and try to get into character. Some people didn't see me the other day, obviously. Let's begin. We interrupt this bulletin to bring you some remarkable breaking news that has occurred in Jerusalem today. I'm Dick Tate, and on Friday I reported to you on the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus. But today new reports have come in, unexpected reports, from those who are guarding the tomb. And these guards have reported that early this morning that Jesus' disciples overcame them and stole Jesus' body. And now apparently the disciples are spreading the rumor that Jesus of Nazareth has risen from the dead. I tried to track down the 12 disciples, the men from Galilee, but unfortunately, once again, they were nowhere to be seen. But I was able to locate Mary of Magdala, and she's willing to take the time to speak to us again to tell us her account. So let's now go live to Jerusalem to hear what Mary has to say. Technology. Technology is working wonderfully today. Hello, Mary.
Yes.
Good to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
So Mary, thank you for agreeing to speak to us once again. Today we've heard reports from the disciple that the disciples have stolen the body of Jesus. But we've also heard reports that the disciples are claiming that Jesus is alive, back from the dead. So can you tell us what has happened, at least from your point of view?
Yeah, sure. Look, I'm very puzzled where these reports have come from that the disciples have stolen the body. I can tell you categorically that was not the case. What I can also tell you that you may be very pleased to hear is that I know that Jesus is alive.
You know that Jesus is alive. So how do you know that Jesus is alive?
Well, I have seen Jesus and I have spoken with him. Jesus is truly alive.
Well, I really struggle to believe that. So can you describe to me and our viewers what has happened?
Well, remember we talked just a couple of days ago, and I was telling you that day that Jesus died. He was on a cross. He died on the cross. The soldiers thrust a spear into his side and blood and water flowed from his side, proving that he was dead. His lifeless body was brought down off the cross, and some men carried his body and placed it in a tomb. And I told you that day that they hadn't buried the body properly, and I would be going today to make sure that the body was properly embalmed. And so some women with me went down to the tomb to lay perfumes on the body and to embalm the body, wrap the body in cloths. And that is when we found that Jesus actually wasn't there. He is alive. There were women with me as we went down to do this together.
So you had witnesses. So who were these women?
Yep, Joanna was with me and Mary was with me. There were some other women. I'm not going to name them to a reporter on camera just at the moment, but there were a group of women who accompanied me to the tomb this morning.
What do you think Joanna and Mary, whoever they are, do you think they'd be willing to speak to me later, maybe to give their point of view and to confirm your own?
Quite possibly. I'll ask them for you. That's a possibility.
Okay, well, tell us, Mary, what did you women see when you arrived at the tomb?
Well, the first thing that was very puzzling was that the Roman soldiers, the guards, were gone. Now, we know that the Romans had asked them to guard the tomb, and this was a very important job for them to do. So that was quite puzzling. Also, there was a huge stone, a boulder, in front of the entrance of the tomb, which we were quite concerned how we were going to get that moved a bit to get into the tomb. But the whole boulder had been rolled aside, which meant that the women and I could go straight into the tomb. When we went into the tomb, Jesus' body was not there. The strips of linen were there, but Jesus' body was gone.
That's very strange. I wonder why the disciples left the strips of linen there when they took Jesus' body.
I can see, Dick, that you still think the disciples have stolen the body. Let me correct you. The disciples have not stolen the body. The male disciples are still in hiding. They are fearful for their lives. They are fearful to be arrested, and they have not come out of the home. It was not the disciples that stole the body.
Okay, so Mary, you're telling me a very different story to what the guards have been reporting. In fact, what even the high priests have been reporting. So if the guards aren't telling the truth, well, then tell us your truth.
Okay. So we arrived in the tomb. The tomb is empty and the cloths are there. That was shocking enough. But then we saw an angel in the tomb.
You saw an angel?
That's right. We saw an angel. It was almost like a human figure, but definitely not human. It was kind of like a ghost, but definitely not a ghost. We know that this was an angel.
So I've never seen an angel. I don't know about our viewers. The viewers ever seen an angel? Probably not. Maybe another time we'll get you to explain what the angel looked like, but what then did the angel do?
Well, you're right. I'd never seen an angel before either. It's a first for me. It was quite frightening. But what is important is what the angel said. The angel told me that Jesus wasn't there because he had risen from the dead. So this is how I know the body is gone. The angel has told me Jesus has risen from the dead. Now, you might be a bit puzzled. I'm still a little bit puzzled because I know that we know that righteous people have a spiritual resurrection, but that doesn't explain why the body is gone. So I'm a little puzzled as you are, but when I found this information from the angel, I ran back to town to the disciples to tell them what we had seen and what the angel had said.
So you ran back to town to hear, to see what the, back to town to do what the angel had told you to do. So what did the disciples do when you came to them?
Well, they actually didn't believe us. I mean, I understand why they didn't believe it. I'm trying to come to terms with it myself. It is quite puzzling. But the other women that were with me saw what I saw. The body is gone. They heard the angel's testimony. But Peter and John, they believed us enough to want to go and find out for themselves what had happened to Jesus. So they came out of hiding. They risked their lives. They risked arrest. And, of course, as they came down to the tomb, everything was exactly as we had told them, except the angel was gone by that time.
So Peter and John, the leaders of the disciples, have actually been to the tomb. That's interesting. Maybe, hopefully, we will get a chance to speak to them soon. So what did you do when they went to the tomb?
Well, I followed them back. They went to the tomb and I sat outside and I just thought, oh, so much has happened. Friday, I was in mourning. My Lord has died. And then today, the angel has appeared. The body is gone. It appears that Christ has risen again. And I was just overwhelmed with confusion and emotion. And I just started to sit down and think, where is the body? And I started to cry as I just reflected how confusing this all was to me. And I thought, really? Was the body really gone? I just need to check again. So I've gone back into the tomb. And when I've gone back in to see if Jesus' body was really there, was really not there, there were two angels this time. And they asked me the strangest of questions. They said to me, why are you crying? So I was like, I can't believe that they're asking me this. I'm crying because they've taken my Lord away. I'm crying because I have no idea where they have taken him.
So you've seen one angel. Now you're seeing two angels. This is truly an unbelievable story, Mary, that you're telling us. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're going with it. This is mm-hmm. your story. Mm-hmm. So now you're with the angels. They've been speaking to you. So what happened next?
Oh, look, I absolutely agree with you. This is a miraculous story. You've never heard anything like this before. The angels didn't get to answer my question because as I asked, another person came into the tomb. You know when there's an entrance with full of light, you can see the shadow blocks the light. And I kind of thought that it was the gardener. And I thought to myself, maybe the gardeners have something to do with this. So I said to him, I turned to ask him what he might have done with the body of Jesus. And the gardener said to me, why are you crying and who are you looking for? And, of course, I said, they've taken away my Lord. I wondered, you know, if he could give me some direction about what this was, what was happening. I said to him, sir, if you have taken him, tell me where you've taken him so I can go and get him. And then he said to me, Mary, as soon as he said my name, I heard his voice and I knew it was Jesus. And I looked up into his eyes and there he was, Jesus himself. He was risen. He was standing before me. I was looking straight at him and I reached out and I grasped him and I didn't want to let him go.
So you saw Jesus and then you touched him, you're telling us.
Absolutely. I clasped onto him. I've seen him. I've heard him. I've touched him.
Well, I must say, as a reporter, I'm quite confused by the accounts because on Friday you gave a very clear account of Jesus' death and clearly he died. You spoke about his burial and now you're saying that you've seen him, you've spoken to him and you've touched him. Mm-hmm. It's so hard for me to believe. Mm-hmm. How can it be? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Mary, I'm struggling to understand your story, but tell me then, did Jesus say anything else to you?
Yes, he told me to go back to his brothers, his disciples, and to tell the disciples what I had seen and what I had heard. So, of course, I did exactly as Jesus instructed me. I went again back to the disciples to tell them what I had seen and what I had heard.
You're a bit like a pinball machine, aren't you? You're going backwards and forwards. So did they believe you this time?
No, they didn't. But you know what? I know what I saw. I saw my Lord. I know he is alive, and nobody will be able to change my mind on that.
Well, Mary, I'm not sure I believe your story. But thank you for speaking to us and telling us your truth.
What was that?
We need to help you now.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go. Other disciples are just coming. They're telling me that they too have seen Jesus.
No, don't leave us, Mary. Stay with us.
I can't listen to them and talk to you as well. Oh, my goodness. It's actually Jesus. Jesus has come too. I'm sorry. I've got more important things to do right now. I have to go.
We seem to have a technical fault there. She's gone. And she doesn't seem to be coming back. Well, it does look like we've lost contact with Mary. We'll keep trying to get hold of her. So don't go away, because maybe she'll come back later and we'll be able to find out what actually happened and what she meant by what she said. Did she really say that she saw Jesus, that Jesus was there? Well, some of you have heard the message of Easter so many times, and so the challenge for those who are telling the story is to retry to tell it in a way so that you're there amongst the eyewitnesses. Because if you were there amongst the eyewitnesses, you may well have been convinced, because it wasn't just Mary, it wasn't just the disciples, it was so many people who were there to see that Jesus had risen from the dead, who saw him, who heard him speak to them, and who touched them. For the events of Easter are remarkable. If they occurred today, of course, we'd have video footage, wouldn't we? It'd be all over Facebook, all over those other devices and things that we use. But even if that was the case, even if it was there for everyone to see, people would still find reason to not believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. How many people still believe that COVID is a myth? How many people still believe that the walking on the moon was made up? We twist things, particularly if they're going to impact upon our lives and what it means for us. Because if there is a creator, then we have a responsibility towards him. But if there is a creator who died to save us, then really there is no response but to put our faith in him. Of course, many in Jesus' day did not believe, and next week we'll hear the account of Thomas, who wasn't there in the upper room when Jesus appeared on that first Easter evening. But we saw him come to believe as he spoke to Jesus. Whether he touched him or not doesn't really matter. Thomas believed that Jesus was his Lord and his God. But Jesus said to them, to Thomas, "Blessed are those who believe, even though they haven't seen." We know deep within our hearts, through the Holy Spirit, that Jesus has risen from the dead. We know that we can have a relationship with him now. We know all that he's prepared for us, so that it isn't just a spiritual resurrection that will occur, but one day our bodies will be transformed so that we may be like Christ and go to be with him. But it is interesting that Jesus and God chose to reveal the resurrected Jesus firstly to someone who was insignificant, a woman who'd had seven demons cast out of her, Mary. But he trusted her to faithfully witness to his resurrection as she had faithfully served him throughout her life. But of course, Jesus didn't just trust this message to Mary alone, because over the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to well over 500 people. In fact, Jesus appeared to more, the Bible tells us, Paul tells us, more than 500 people on one occasion. And Paul said, and go and speak to them, because most of them are still alive. Take their eyewitness testimony. And that's been recorded for us in the most reliable book on our earth. That's not from me, that's from the universities who say that. So the eyewitness accounts of the day were at the time irrefutable, unless you did not want to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead, unless you did not want to serve the Lord with your life. And the same stands true today. In the days that followed Jesus' resurrection, many, many people, as they heard the eyewitness accounts, chose to believe that Jesus had risen. And many of these people, even if they hadn't seen Jesus firsthand, were executed for what they believed about Jesus, about his death and resurrection. But they went to their graves not doubting at all. They went to their graves knowing that they too would rise from the dead. And over the last 2,000 years and in the world today, millions and millions of people from all throughout the world have believed the eyewitness testimonies that prove that Jesus has risen, that Jesus rose from the dead so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could have peace with God, and so that when Christ returns, we will go to be with Jesus forever in paradise. But of course, it all comes down to whether you believe this or not. For only you know what you believe. Only you know what you believe to be true. But if you do believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then this changes everything. It makes the hot cross buns so significant. It makes the Easter eggs so much more tasty, because they reveal the main event in human history of Jesus' death and resurrection, of God's love for us. And if you believe that Christ has been raised, then you, along with millions and millions and millions of people throughout the world, have no reason to fear anything in this life. That's why we're gathered here. That's why we've come out of our homes in possibly one of the highest risk places that you've been into for some time, though risk is low, and we're taking measures. We're gathered here today because we are of those who, like Mary, like the apostles, and like the more than 500 witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, believe that on Good Friday, Jesus died to save us from our sins, that he took our punishment upon himself, and that on Easter Sunday, God raised Jesus from the dead for our justification and for our eternal salvation. And it's just not only what we believe, it's what we experience. For now we know that we have a personal relationship with Jesus who rose from the dead. And we know that one day God will raise us from the dead so that along with Mary, we will go to be with Jesus, that we will go to be with our Saviour in heaven forever. This is why today, we, along with God's chosen eyewitness, Mary Magdalene, and along with the other apostles, we declare that Christ is risen. For we believe Christ is risen. Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. We're going to have our second reading now, just that passage that Paul spoke about the witnesses.
This reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 8a. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me too. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what do you believe about these events? If you'd like to stand with me now, and we'll say together what's called the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. If you'd like to remain standing, we're going to sing our next song. It was given to me by someone to sing, and I didn't think we'd have it, but we are. Full Atonement, Can It Be? Hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. What a saviour we have. Let's sing this together. Please be seated. I'll be going away the next week or so. Not sure how long, depends how long I can be, and then I'll put in a second annual leave form at the end of that to see how I go. it's a funny sort of a time, COVID, and it depends a little bit on what happens in the parish of how long I can stay away. Norm Lenton's funeral is on Friday at Greenway at midday. Let's spend a little bit of time in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We pray for the communities in which we come from. Help us to be faithful witnesses within them to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and for his death for us, for our sins. We thank you that in our communities, that each week our children get to hear the message of the gospel through SRE. We pray for these teachers as they take these 2 weeks off. We pray that you would refresh them once more with the message that they bring. Lord, we pray for these children that you may work in their hearts that no seeds may be lost. Lord, we pray for those amongst us who are in need. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray particularly for Paulina, Sonia, and Andrew and their families. Bless them, we pray. Give them wisdom and strength. Give them patience. We pray for all those known to us who are in sickness or in need at this time. We pray your blessing upon them. We thank you for our community. We thank you for those who serve us within our community. As we look to Queensland and see 400 health workers having to spend time 2 weeks in isolation at this critical time, we thank you for those who are paid to care for us when we are in need. We pray that you may keep control of that infection, that it may not spread. We pray for those who also assist. We thank you for the steps that the army have taken this year. We pray for police, ambulance officers, and all those in the emergency services. We pray for those volunteers who are still getting over and still working regarding the flooding. We pray for those families whose homes have been inundated, who have no insurance, who don't know where to turn. We pray for wisdom for our governments, for the use of the resources that they distribute on our behalf. Lord, we thank you for our surf lifesavers who, like Jesus in some ways, risk their own life to protect the lives of others. We pray that you would give them wisdom and safety this weekend. And Lord, we pray particularly for those who have gone out from amongst us into other parts of the world to spread the good news of Jesus. We pray that, like we, they may take any opportunity that is given to them to speak the life-saving message of Jesus. We particularly pray for those missionaries who are serving in places where they can, a little bit like the disciples, they can be imprisoned or even executed for sharing the faith. We pray your wisdom and protection for them. But Lord, we thank you that because your Son died on the cross and rose again, we thank you that he now mediates for us so that we can come before you in his name to speak to you, and that you have promised that when we pray, particularly in accordance with it, within your will, that you will grant our requests. We thank you for so much that this day brings to us, that we now have one who mediates, our great high priest, between ourselves and you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We come to a time of communion now where we share bread and the fruit of the vine, and the bread that we have is gluten-free, so everyone gets gluten-free. The fruit of the vine is grape juice, and so non-alcoholic. If you'd not like to participate in that, that's fine. Just keep your hands together when we come to you. I just got around the people on Friday when there was about 80, and we have about 120 or so here today. So there might be a little bit of a gap after the song, and let me just encourage you to take that time to reflect on Jesus' death and resurrection. But I'll come to you, to each of you, and somebody else will come to you with grape juice. Hold on to them, and during the prayer, I will tell you when to eat them, eat and drink, so that we do that together. Well, we're going to hear our song, our next song, and reminding us that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And so we now declare that Jesus has risen, and we declare his praises. Thank you, David.
treasured prize. For us he conquered sin, for he is risen. With thankfulness we will see. Adopted now we are his. So we declare the praises of Jesus, Savior and King. He
continue in prayer. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, making us in your own image. We praise you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who, by his death on the cross and rising to new life, offered the one true sacrifice for sin and obtained an eternal deliverance for his people. And now we give you thanks that you raised him to life triumphant and exalted him to glory. By his victory over death, the reign of sin is ended. A new day has dawned. A broken world is restored, and we are made whole once more. Therefore, we lift our voices to praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. And now, gracious God, we thank you for these gifts of bread and the fruit of the vine, and we pray that we who receive them in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, according to our Saviour's word, in remembrance of his suffering and death, may share his body and blood. On the night before he died, Jesus took bread, and when he'd given you thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. Then after the supper, he took the cup, and again, giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen.
We eat this bread, we drink this cup to proclaim the death of the Lord, and we will do this until he returns. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful way to remember the death and resurrection of your Son. And it's so significant today. Help us to live as people of the resurrection who, being united with your Son, live to serve you and to take your message to the ends of the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing a fairly popular hymn for Easter. We're going to sing of Jesus' victory over death, victory over the grave, and we're going to sing of his glory as our risen Lord. Let's stand and sing this together. And during this song, your cups will be picked up off you.
Whenever I prepare the passage and I for Easter and Mary gets met by Jesus, it's at that point I can't help myself but breaking down in tears, that wonderful moment when the reality of the resurrection took place. And there was a wonderful phrase in that hymn which said, "Lo, Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb, and lovingly he greets us and scatters our fear and grief." We give thanks today for the resurrected Jesus. Almighty God, who redeemed us through the resurrection of Christ and has brought us out of our slavery to sin and death into everlasting freedom, give you joy and peace in faith and bring you to your eternal inheritance. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. So then let us go today, especially in peace, to love and to serve our Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen. We thank you for joining us. There's a lot of people here today. There's a few different ways that people can exit. You can exit through the front door. You can exit through either of the doors. Some of you will stay around and talk. Others might stay in the car park and talk. Thank you for those who park next door this morning to make it easier for other people. Just try to look after one another by trying to respect that 1.5 metre rule. It still stands in place. Thank you for joining us.